Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce. I'm so glad to be with you today. Again, I love doing this series. I'm doing a series, Christ Our Life Ministry Scriptural Basis. And, of course, The Liberating Secret is presented to you by Christ Our Life Ministries. But this is our scriptural basis for our ministry. And if you can check this on the internet, it's actually our website, The Liberating Secret. And each of these lessons, we're going to post each of these lessons, the outline of each lesson, and also a link to the actual program itself. So you might want to take some of these lessons and do some home Bible studies with them. I think that would be really wonderful. A lot of people are moving into the home church. I mean, we've realized that. And we're thinking of more ways that we can interface with home churches and be a part of your home church too. So we're thinking about that. But right now we're going into a very important subject. The subject is the replaced life. We cannot have two natures at once. And why is that so important? It's so important because I think there's so much misunderstanding on that subject. Most of the time, most Christians are taught that we have two natures, that it's like a white dog and a black dog. And they're both inside of us, and they fight each other. Well, what exactly does that mean? What it means to most people is that you constantly have to fight your flesh because you still have an Adamic nature in your flesh or a carnal nature in your flesh. And so, therefore, how in the world could you ever really love yourself? I mean, the Bible says, Jesus said this. He said, the only commandments I'm going to give you are love. And you're to love the Lord thy God, you're to love your neighbor, and you're to love yourself. How in the world could you really love yourself when you think you have a satanic nature? You still have a satanic nature. That's schizophrenia, really. That is not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying there are natures. There are two natures, and those two natures are God and Christ and Satan. And before we were saved, we had a satanic nature, which some people call Adamic nature. That's what we had before we were saved. And now in Christ, we have the nature of Christ. Actually, it says in 2 Peter, 1 chapter, verse 4, that we have a divine nature. And let me read that right now while I'm thinking about it. Because that's so important. It's so important to know that we do not have two natures at once. That's really a misunderstanding in the body of Christ. And I will have to say it's a lie. It's just a simple lie because it causes most of the defeat in the body of Christ because you're constantly warring against your flesh, trying to improve your flesh to be better and really frustrated and knowing and always taught that you can never really get anywhere. Actually, let me say this before I read in 2 Peter. One time, friends of mine, two other women and myself, went to a huge church in Memphis, Tennessee. We went into the pastor's office and we were talking to him. And we were sharing with him the truths of Romans 7 and Romans 8. And he stopped me and he said, "Are you saying that we actually can move into the victory, the full victory of Romans 8? And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Do you realize that most theologians and ministers teach the opposite?" And I said, "Yes, I do." But I said, "The Bible does not teach that." Now, in other words, he looked at me like, "Who in the world do you think you are?" And all I can say is that I'm just a simple person. I don't claim to have great, knowledge or great anything. I'm just a simple vessel that the Holy Spirit has taught this to me. And I have to proclaim it to the body of Christ because I think it's really been taught wrong that we Christians have to beat ourselves up all the time and daily confess our sins. That's why we have such a sin consciousness. Think again of the little children, young men, and fathers. The consciousness of a little child is not the same as the consciousness of a young man. The consciousness of a young man is not the same as a father. If we're ever gonna mature past babyhood, we've got to move from the consciousness of a little baby, which is sin conscious, me conscious, devil conscious, And we've got to move in and know that we're really Christ conscious. Because when I'm Christ conscious, I'm not thinking about me. It's not about me. It's about others. So the point is, we have never really, the human being has never really had its own nature. You've always been indwelt by the nature of another, because the human being is a derivative being. It derives its righteousness or sin from the one who lives inside of us. All right, now let's read 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us," according to his divine power, his power that lives within us, "has given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." You don't have to go out and find power. You don't have to beg God for power. Jesus Christ is the power of God. He's the power of God. And it says, and that he's called us by virtue and glory, whereby is given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. The New Testament is filled with precious promises. And these promises are able to make you be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature already lives inside because it's Christ within. Now, be a partaker of it is to recognize it. You know, the book of in Romans is pretty clear about our work of faith. Our work of faith is basically to recognize what we already have in Christ. Now look at verse 11 of chapter 6 of Romans. It says, "Likewise, reckon you yourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God." Reckon yourselves dead. Reckon the old man dead. And reckon yourselves alive to the spirit that lives within you. Now you cannot have, you're not a schizophrenic person with two natures at one time. That is a lie. And we're going to talk about Romans 7 because the first thing that comes up, the first argument against what I'm saying that comes up is the Romans 7 passages. We're going to go to that next and we're going to look through the Romans 7 passages. Look, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and let's look at what it's, see, we're not really reading the Bible for what it says. Or maybe we have some paraphrased versions and they don't really even say it. Get back to the original. Look at either what the King James New American Standard and look at some of the Greek New Testament lexicon and see exactly what these words really mean. I mean, a lot of our computer programs, our Bible programs are telling us. All right, now the Colossians chapter 3, Paul's talking about, be if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. What's above? Glory is above. Seek the glory that's already ours, and the Lord's Prayer says, bring that glory to earth. Okay, so let's bring the truths of the glorious life that you have within you to earth, to your earth, to your body, to you. Okay, now this is what he's saying. After he's tells you who you are, and he says that your life is not, you're dead, so you're not alive, but Christ is alive in you. And he says that, and your life is hid with Christ. It's the hidden secret of the liberating secret is that Christ is hidden within you, and God is within, and Christ is within God within you. And so that's all within you. So, and it says, therefore, in verse 5, it says, "Mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence," on and on and on. So, what, now I like the New American Standard on that because it says, "Consider the members of your earthly body already dead." You see, we're to reckon what's already true. Christ has done the work. He's already accomplished it. The old man is out. Quit trying to get rid of the old man. He's already out. Recognize he's out. That's the point. Look at verse 8. It says in chapter 3 of Colossians, "But now you also put off concerning these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." How do you do that? And it says, "Lie not one to another." That's not talking about telling lies to one another, telling stories that aren't true. It's telling each other in the body of Christ who we're not all the time. You see, you're not a liar. You're not a person that has wrath. You're a vessel of mercy. We need to start confessing who we really are instead of telling lies to each other. Oh, my gosh, look who you are. Well, you've got to fight that wrath. You've got to try to stop being, you know, have that wrath. You got to stop having filthy communication coming out of your mouth. You see, this is all law. We're to live by faith. We're to live by grace. And we're to simply recognize what's already been done. Then it says this. Seeing the reason that we don't lie to one another, we don't tell each other who we're not all the time. You see, we can say, well, that's not who I am. You can confess that, but you better confess who you are because Christ lives in me. That's who I am. Okay. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you already have put off the old man with his deeds. Does that say that you've got to put off the old man with his deeds? No. It says that Christ has done the work and you already have put off the old man with his deeds. So he's already gone. Now the lie is that we believe he's still there. So we act like the old man because we still believe he's there. And as long as we believe we have two natures, you're going to sin even more because you're not believing the truth. You're lying to yourself. You're not believing the truth. Now verse 10 says, and you have put on the new man. So when did it say that we had two natures at once? We do not have two natures at once. It says, now this new man that you've put on, which is Christ, you see, it's all by faith. So it's not against feeling. It's not against what we think. It's against how we feel, how we think, what we feel is true, what seems to be true, and we're taking leaps of faith, and we're saying, I already have the fullness of the new man living inside me. It's Christ. Christ is the new man. That's who I am. That's who I am. Now this new man who is Christ in you, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So Christ brought his mind along being the new man inside of you. So he's given you new understanding, new knowledge, new way of looking at things. Instead of seeing yourself separate, see yourself one with Christ. You're in union with Christ. And he is in you. So when you're challenged with that and something pops out of you that is not Christ, you can say, well, hey, that's not who I am. Christ is my life. So get on being who you are, Jesus. See, I've got a friend, Fran Giles. I often quote her. She says, when something comes up that she can't call it Christ. Well, she says, well, hit it, Christ. Get on with it. Get on being who you are in me, which is an act of faith, which is recognizing you already have the new man. See, when we do that, we finally can move into the victory that Jesus has for us. And that's what the burden of my heart is, that people move into the reality that you already have put off the old man. When did I put off the old man? When did you put off the old man? You did it at the cross. Now, how do I know it happened to me? Because you identify yourself with Christ at the cross. You were crucified with him 2,000 years ago to the old man. The old man's out. You were resurrected in his new life. And his new life was put inside of you. The new man is in. See yourself resurrected. When we still have two natures, we're still acting like Satan is still inside of us. He is not. He is not. He is not. Now, can he tempt us from the outside? Oh, yes. Does he talk to us in our minds? Oh, yes. But that does not mean that he is in my spirit center. You people are spirit beings. We're forgetting that. We're thinking that we're flesh beings. We're spirit. You are spirit beings. That's who you are, as a spirit. Now you're clothed in soul and body. That's your outer form. Can he come to you outwardly and tempt you? Oh, yes. But we've got to learn his voice. We've got to learn his wily ways, you see. And because he speaks to us in first person. Half the time, he's speaking in my mind, and I think it's me. So we're going to go into that fully in Romans 7. But now we need to see that we do not have two natures at the same time. Now, let's look at other scriptures that say that. Let's look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says this. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, Jesus. Now, this is quoted a lot in churches. Than he that is in the world. Well, where is the he that's in the world? It ain't in you. There's he that is in you. That has to be Christ. Then he that is in the world. He's not still in you. He's in the world. He's out. Now, he can fool you if he tells you lies that he's still there. Now, suppose you're acting out some sins. You know what, folks? That's not who you are. You can stand against that by faith and say, according to God's word, I'm a new creation, and that is not who I am. And Satan, you have no power here because that Christ lives in me. And so you trust Christ to overcome those temptations and sin. Don't you try to overcome them. I heard an old missionary man say one time, if Satan comes knocking at your door, don't answer it, because you're dead, remember? Don't answer it. Send Jesus. So if you answer it, he wants you to answer it, rise up and fight him, you see. No, we don't have to rise up. It's as if we're getting off the cross to fight him. We don't have to fight him. We have to recognize, we stand by faith, stand by faith. That's what's going to overcome the evil one. Actually, 1 John says that. Let me tell you that. Let me read this in 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. You've already done it in Christ. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in believing that Christ is our life. That's what overcomes the world. That's what overcomes Satan. And that's what overcomes this lie that we have two natures. Okay, 1 John also says in, it's in chapter 3, verse 10. Let's read that. There are two children. It says this. In this, the children of God, that's one family, are manifest. And the children of the devil, there are two natures out that are not in us, but you see, the children of God have Christ within them. That's their nature. They can express the nature of the one that lives inside of us. Okay, but there's two natures, but only one at a time inside of us. Before we were saved, Satan, we were children of Satan, and now through Christ, we're children of God. And then it says in John chapter 8, Jesus talking to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you do. That's a very important verse, because he's saying you're not of your father, God. Okay, God is the almighty, powerful, new nature that we have. And the nature of Satan, you see, is the deceiving, lying nature of Satan, the self-centered nature of Satan. And the Pharisees, it doesn't matter how religious they were. You see, they were still a child of Satan. Their father was Satan because they could not hear Jesus. They could not. Only a person that is born again can hear Jesus, can hear the Spirit in other people. People that are not born again will fight you. They will. They will not like you. They'll want to kill you without a cause, and they won't even know why. So, have we got it clear? The human being is a vessel, and it derives its being from the one who lives inside. And the one who lives inside is either Satan, that's one nature, that's the old man. He's out through the cross. And then through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, and the power for my life, and the nature, and being partaker of the divine nature, saying that's who I am, because the Bible says that's who I am. As I do that, you see, then the fruits of the Spirit come. And then I no longer have to fight my flesh. You know what? Give your humanity a break, precious people. This is what's so wrong in Christianity. We hate our humanity, and it's because of that false teaching that we still have two natures. Give your humanity a break. You are a precious, precious vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives in you. He indwells you. He loves you. He will absolutely express himself out through you. And quit trying to defeat the old nature, because you're trying to do the job that Jesus did at the cross. Jesus put that old nature to the cross, and he died a death. Once for all, you've been delivered. So see yourself totally delivered and quit fighting your humanity. And you're going to see through these lessons, I'm going to talk to you about temptation. I'm going to talk to you about when we move into sin. I'm going to talk to you about knowing the difference between sin, our soul and our spirit. Because basically the reason that we're so confused about our flesh is because we confuse temptation and sin, and we confuse soul from spirit. It's so important to have those two understandings, and we're going to talk a lot about what is the difference between our soul and our spirit. A spirit is where Jesus lives. My spirit is joined to his spirit, and we're one. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are one spirit with him, joined to him as one spirit. And my soul is my personality, the way I think, you know, my human realm, that I think I have a particular personality. I have emotions. I have thought processes. So you see, Satan can speak to us in our flesh, and he does. And he speaks a lot of times in first person in our mind. So I think it's me. Anytime that you are condemned and put down, then you're really being put down by Satan himself. Because Jesus Christ will never put you down. He will never condemn you. You're being condemned by Satan. You're not being condemned by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, if you've sinned, the Holy Spirit will put you under conviction. But it will not be a put down. You see, it will not be you're so rotten, watch yourself, don't do it again. You see, it will lift you up. The Holy Spirit says, come on, now the blood of Jesus Christ has already forgiven you of those sins. Come on and just praise God for the blood, because you're already forgiven. See yourself as already forgiven and holy, right. Next time we're going to talk about the deceived self-life. Next time we're going to go into Romans 7, and we're going to go verse by verse by verse and see what Paul says in Romans 7. Because like I said before, that's the place that most people think, that's why we war against our flesh, is because we think we still have the old. The old is out, the new is in. Hallelujah, Christ is our life. So thank you so much for joining me on The Liberating Secret. May God richly bless you. Goodbye. Let me take a few minutes to talk about a wonderful gathering, a woman's gathering. It's a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. This is a house right on the Atlantic Ocean, right on the beach. There's 7 bedrooms, 7 baths, and we come apart and to really know each other, know the Lord, and be together at Pawleys Island. And there's a brochure right on our website, on the Liberating Secret website. You're going to see a brochure of, if you want to register for this woman's retreat. This is what my friend Jenny Feening wrote. What do you fear? Our personal world is being shaken as never before. Most everything is unpredictable, but God. In Hebrews, it says that I will shake everything that is shakable, but only that which is eternal shall stand. That's Jenny paraphrased. Here at Pawleys, we shall explore the unshakable of the solid ground on which we stand in Christ. At such a time as this, we were born to the glory of God. The Holy Spirit meets each one of us where we are, encourages us in the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth himself shall set you free. So we will gather at the Atlantic Ocean, rock in the rocking chairs on the porches, share stories of our lives, being taught by the Holy Spirit of the Father's heart, relaxing, enjoying his good pleasure and presence. So it's March the 13th through the 20th. If you would like to register, get on the email Jenny Feening at hotmail.com, and her last name is spelled F-I-E-N-N-I-N-G. And you will love it. There's only a few spaces. We only have as many as 17 women per session. We have 2 sessions during that week. So you might be interested in attending Pawleys Island. You will never be the same. So I just encourage that some of you women really want to come and get the nourishment of the Holy Spirit. So thanks for listening to me this little bit about this little advertisement about Pawleys Island. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.